Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the program. I'm Tiffany Bacon. I am your host here with Marcos Marcato. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you today. Reach out to us in Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Delaware at 215-263-1039 or in Charlotte, 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, good morning.
Well, good morning to all my brothers and sisters and to all our listeners. Morning, Tiffany. Good morning,
yes,
Chris.
Good morning.
You know, we hope and pray that today's show will be inspirational and informational. Amen.
Amen.
And as always, we would start with a word of prayer. So let's go to God.
Yes.
Our Father and God, we thank you so much for the honor and the privilege that it is to be able to look into your word and to be able to enhance and enrich our marriages. And Father, I do pray that all our listeners this morning would be inspired by your scriptures and by anything that is shared this morning on the show to really help us to take our marriages to another level. Father, we know that marriage is a blessing from you, and yet it can be so challenging, God, and sometimes we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we do pray, Father, that this morning we will see a light. We thank you, God. We pray that you'll be with our topic, especially as we talk about being honest and we get rid of deceit, Father, and all falsehood as we focus on you, Father. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. And today's topic, we are talking about dishonesty in marriage. And I know that is, for a lot of people, that could be a deal breaker. That is a deep and difficult subject, and we've heard many times over the last couple of weeks that I've been here with you, Marcos, that a lot of people are experiencing dishonesty in their marriage, whether it's an unfaithfulness or, you know, just not being upfront about something that may be going on with their partner personally. So we definitely need to get into that. If you are experiencing that right now, feel free to give us a call for advice. Or if you have gone through it and you have a testimony, reach out to us, 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644.
And Tiffany, as you mentioned, we'd love to keep it real here on the air, and we want to inspire you, but also really encourage you to get real this morning. And the question we have for you is, are you dishonest in your marriage? Mm-hmm. Let's start with you, you know, and I'm not talking about you, Tiffany. I'm just saying with you, you know, our listeners, it's easy for us to say, oh, yeah, you know, my spouse, they're dishonest. But what about you? Are you honest in your relationship? And I want to begin with our theme scripture here in Acts chapter 5, where it says, now a man named Ananias got together with his wife Sapphira and sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias heard this. He fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped his body, and carried him out and buried him. And it doesn't stop. It says about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, this is the price. Peter said to her, how can you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
Powerful. And that's from Acts 5.
Acts chapter 5, yes.
All right. Let's go to the phones. We have some people with questions and comments already. Again, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And the question that was posed to you so far this morning, are you dishonest in your marriage? Reach out to us, 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Ronnie is calling in from Southwest Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning. I'm calling because I would like to get some advice concerning marriage. I'm engaged. I'm about to get married within like 2 week period. However, my fiance has recently been contacted from family member and got pregnant. So he didn't know whether or not it was his or the family member. Now, they've broken all ties and not talked within a year. However, within the year period of time, she sent him paperwork to either sign for a DNA test or just to take on the role of being the child's father. Mm-hmm. However, we dealt with her prior, and she has a son that he cut the umbilical cord for that he knows isn't his, mm-hmm. which is an older son. It's about 3 now. And he wants to still be in that child's life. And even when he took the test for the second child, she never went to get her mouth swabbed. So I'm dealing with two issues. One, why isn't he pressing the issue on finding out whether or not this child is his? And secondly, why is he taking interest so hard in the son that he knows isn't his?
All right.
Okay. Well, Ronnie, we thank you so much for reaching out to us. And, you know, we hope and pray that anything we share with you would inspire you. We know that, again, you know, we're just people and we just want to give you our opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. But it sounds to me, Ronnie, that this is an issue of trust. Let me ask you a question, if I may. How long have you known your fiancé?
About a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay. How long you've been engaged now?
About 4 months.
4 months. Okay, and you're about to get married, you said, in a couple of weeks?
Yes.
Now, just a question. Why it seems with all that's going on, it seems like you're rushing into this just a little bit. Have you thought about or have any of your girlfriends even given you advice of, you know, maybe you need to take your time a little bit, get to know this guy a little more before you make that commitment?
Well, I've been in one marriage before, and I've known him for 8 years, and it didn't work out. My son's father, I've known him for 6 years, and it still didn't work out. So I'm of the mindset, it's really not about how long you know a person. It's about their relationship mm-hmm. with God, and if they're really sincere with God to make a commitment to you, and neither of the two really were. So I don't think time really should have that much to do with it if they're men of God. And the one reason I fell in love with my fiancé is because he has such a love and a heart for children. He was rejected as a child, and he's a motivational speaker and an activist for children. So that same love he has, I just feel as though, why can't you put that aside and put me first?
Okay.
And, you know, consider my feelings instead of just being so gung-ho about being this child's father when you still have to go through this mother that basically has you on a string. She could pull this child away from you at any time, and then you're now damaging the child.
Sure, sure. Well, we understand it's very complicated, and I agree with you, Ronnie. It's not always about time. I didn't know the previous situation. It sounds like there's a deeper issue here, Ronnie, and I think one of the things you got to ask yourself is how much do you trust God, and have you prayed what I call the prayer before marriage? And that prayer, it's a scary one, and it's, God, if this is the person for me, make it clear. If not, make that clear. Take it away. And I remember praying that even up until the day of my wedding, just to make sure if there's anything that it was just my desire versus God's, that he will make clear and that I wanted to be open to it. And it sounds to me, look, I'm not trying to tell you not to marry this man. It's obviously your decision. But it sounds to me that there are just too many things that are not clear or that you don't feel great about before making the vow, that it's only going to magnify later. It's not going to go away. It's going to become more of an issue. It's going to be magnified. That's the reality. And if there's a trust issue, it sounds like there's a trust issue in terms of how much does he trust your input and how much does he consider your needs and your feelings. And those things are so prevalent in marriage. I mean, they're key. If you don't have that, you would be very unhappy. You would have a lot of, you would be ending up having counseling sessions about this very thing. But in this case, it will be something that will be breaking your marriage apart. Mm-hmm. My encouragement to you is, you know, it not that you need more time as much as you need more clarity and asking God and asking that prayer, God, make it clear. Mm-hmm. Is this really the man for me? And if it's not, you know, take it away somehow.
All right. I want to be clear and know that I wasn't being selfish and self-centered, because I feel as though if he trusts me enough, we can work through this, but don't just go into the relationship saying, this is the responsibility I'm going to take regardless of how you feel, because this is a good thing I'm doing. You know what I mean? I would be open to it, but he doesn't allow me to have that voice.
Well, Ronnie, we hope that we were able to help you again this morning. And thank you so much for listening to us here at Marriage Beyond the Vows. We wish you well. All right. Thank you. All right. We have Amber calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Amber, and I just wanted to encourage the caller that just called in.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
From the outside looking in, it seems like she has a pretty good guy who's willing to stand up and do what he's supposed to do until God leads him otherwise. So I wouldn't necessarily look at it like he's putting the children first and pushing her to the side, and why is he so gung-ho? Well, I mean, there's a lot of men out here who don't want to take care of their children at all.
That's true.
So the fact that he wants to stand up and be in these children's lives until otherwise is proven so, I feel like that's a wonderful thing. And regardless whether they're his children or not, at least they have a positive role model in their lives. That's something that, to be honest with you, that I would be proud of as a fiance moving into the marriage. And it just might be the calling on his life to be there for children. So that's something that I would encourage her to not stand in the way of. If that's something that attracted her to him in the beginning, that should be something that should remain attractive to her. And they should pray together as to, you know, where they want to move forward with the marriage. Because to me, that sounds like a wonderful stand-up kind of guy to start a marriage off with.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, Amber, we do appreciate your comment. I tell you this much, though. You know, it's easy for us to sit outside of a relationship and say, you know, this is what you should feel or you think. And I understand. For you, maybe that would be the perfect person. And I don't know. Are you married, Amber?
Yes, I am.
You know, for you, it sounds like, you know, that's high priority. And yet there could be a lot of noble things. But if you don't feel as a wife secure, or you don't feel that your input even matters. And that's what it sounded like. It wasn't so much that she was opposed to it as much as he just had his mind made up. And so that's an issue there. And so we're not talking about his heart for children. I thought about that as well. I said, you know, he sounds like has a great, noble heart. But we're talking about they're getting married. And in marriage, the Bible says the two become one.
Exactly.
And so if there's already a conflict and they're not unified prior to this relationship, then it's a mistake to go forward until they resolve that. Now, if she was like you and she was like, great, he has a great heart for kids, then, hey, you know, let's get married.
Work it out. Amber, thank you so much for your call and for your comments and encouragement for our previous caller.
Not
thank you.
Not a problem. I'll keep her in prayer because I know marriage is so hard.
That's
so
right.
I'll keep her in prayer.
All right. Thanks a lot and have a wonderful day. All right. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Our question to the listener, are you dishonest in your marriage? If so, and you need advice, call us. Or if you have a testimony on how maybe you were and you overcame it, and now you and your husband or you and your wife are a stronger unit, we look forward to hearing from you. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, we have Marie calling in from Camden, New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Marie. Oh, Marie's having phone trouble. Marie?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Marie. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
And blessed.
Awesome. What's your comment or question?
Okay. My question is, me and my husband are separated. We're living separated. I, at this point, am leaning towards divorce. My husband doesn't want to get a divorce. And I feel as though I can't trust him. I can't believe in anything that he says.
Okay.
He has a problem with alcohol, and he's not willing to do anything about it. We're not young people. We're in the middle of our lives. I've known him for 8 years. We've been married for three.
Okay.
And we've tried a little bit of counseling. You know, I'm just being really renewed in Christ. He's trying, but it's no trust there for me. And it's little things that he says and does, and then I find out different. And it has built up to, like, you ever see a little ball of yarn, and then as you wind it, it's a big ball? And he doesn't understand that.
Okay. Let's let Marcos respond and give you some advice.
Marie, thank you so much for sharing. And we're really, our hearts do go out to you in this situation. Let me ask you, have you sat down with your husband and just said, hey, you know, I love you, baby. I understand you don't want to get divorced, but there's no way that I can live like this. You need to go get some help. And I'm not talking about marriage or counseling. I'm talking about help with his drinking.
I did that yesterday, and it was total chaos. Okay. And I'm saying this because my husband doesn't have any children, okay? And I have children. I'm not of a childbearing age anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have children, and it is just chaos. He doesn't really wish to understand how I truly feel. And I'm telling him, you know, I chose you to be the head of my household.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is so hurtful.
But we know, obviously, if someone is addicted to alcohol or any substance, they're not going to be able to function as a head of a household. So my question is, was he open to getting help, or is he open to getting help?
No. No, he thinks that he can pray it away. He thinks that, you know, I mean, he tinkers with God.
Okay. Mm. Okay, well, Marie, I tell you this much, and I've encouraged all our listeners or anybody that I give input from, you know, God puts his foot down. Now, at the same time, you know, the Bible talks about how Jesus came and he came into this world. He was full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. And so it has to be even. You can't just say, okay, this is the truth. You know, you're wrong. I'm leaving you. There has to be grace. But at the same time, there needs to be truthfulness to this. And the mm-hmm. truth is, it sounds to me that you can't live with this man if he's going to continue to do these harmful things to himself and to you and to your family. And so I'm not saying that divorce is an option, because the Bible really doesn't give that option. In this case, though, separation is fine. And it's okay for you to say, you know what? I'll be ready when you are ready to change. And right now, it sounds like he wants to do things in under his terms and his conditions, of saying, you know, I can pray. To me, that's just a cop out. That's just an excuse to not get the help he needs. And it sounds to me that he's not faced with reality yet. He needs to hit bottom. He needs to fall flat on his face. And in order for you to do that, you will have to pull back. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I encourage you, Marie, that the moment he's ready, when he does get to the point he wants help and change, then you should also be very gracious and forgiving the way God is. So it's you know, it's a balance. You don't want to sound soft and say, okay, I'll take you back regardless. But at the same time, you don't want to be calloused and say, you know, I'm going to divorce you, if you know that that's not what the Bible teaches.
Mm. If it was not for the pressure that he puts on me and the way that he makes me feel, then I could work something out with him. Okay, I have been trying to hold on. I have been deep in prayer and fasting. Okay, my husband, maybe a month after we separated, got his third DUI.
Okay.
And he feels as though it's nothing wrong with that. He jeopardized his job, you know, because he doesn't work close. He jeopardized everything. And he still, right now, will pick up a drink. And I was like, you know, I told him yesterday, you know, I can't do these dual things with you. I can't be your wife and have you come into the home and create this chaos that you create.
Sure.
Mm. All right. Marie, we're going to let Marcos say one final thing, and we are going to have to move to the next caller. And
okay.
We do, again, we feel for you, but Marcos, what more do you have to say?
And can you give me a piece of scripture to meditate on?
Oh, definitely. We could always do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it really begins with, before I even give you this passage, I think that in 2 Thessalonians, and you can write this down so you won't forget, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, before I even read this passage, though, I want to encourage you to be strong. You know, we'll be praying for you. Be strong. Mm-hmm. And this is how God views men in terms of when we hurt him. The way your husband is hurting you with his sin, God feels that even more towards us. And yet this is what he is able to say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. He says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kind of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing, They perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so they will be condemned. So they will be condemned who have not believed the truth and have delighted in wickedness. You know, God says he loves us that much that if we want to believe the lie, he'll let us. In this case, your husband is not ready to see the truth. He doesn't want to. It's in his face. Everybody else can see it. Three DWIs, all these consequences, yet he has not fallen on his face enough. And my encouragement to you, Marie, is let him, let God work. Let him fall on his face. He might have to lose his job. He might have to, you know, find himself out in the street with nothing before he looks up. And first he needs to look to God. And then his heart should be, you know what, I've sinned against God. I've messed up. And his heart should be willing to do anything. I mean, I don't care if he needs to go into a rehab for a month, a year, whatever he needs to do. Once he gets to that point, then God can work. Mm-hmm. But don't interfere. Don't enable him. And don't be impatient. God will do his thing. So according to that scripture, look, even God knows how to let go. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to you is let go, not of the love you have for this man, but of the discipline that the God is going to put in his life if he does not listen.
All right. Thank you so much, Maria, and God bless you, and we wish you all the best.
Okay, thank you, and God bless you, too.
All right.
And God bless the show.
All
it's
right.
really a true blessing. I listen every Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that.
All right.
Have a great day. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're going to take a pause for the cause. I know we have a few people in the queue who are calling. We want you to hold on, please, because we are going to get to you. If you have not yet called, we invite you to call. You can reach us in Philadelphia, 215-263-1039, or out of town, 1-877-995-7644. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return right after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thanks again for joining us on this Saturday morning. You could be anywhere on your radio dial, but I'm very happy that you've decided to be here with us. I'm your host, Tiffany Bacon, along with your co-host, Mr. Marcos Marcato, and we are talking this morning about, are you being dishonest in your marriage? That is the first question posed to you, the listener. We welcome your calls again in Philadelphia, 215-263-1039, and in Charlotte, 1-877-995-7644. Let's go right to the phones, Marcos. We have Robin calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you for being patient. What's your comment or question?
No problem. Comment. I just want to thank you guys for this ministry. It's definitely insightful for those who don't have real live examples in their life. But I did have a question. I've been married for a year now, and I find a challenge of on a topic of honesty. How do you build and continue to foster an atmosphere of honesty with, I think for me, the challenge is being the man, and, you know, I struggle with this whole being the super husband and taking care of everything, and then on the side, you know, you kind of want to build a relationship and a friendship with your wife. I don't always get that balance down right. So I guess my question is, how do you continue to build an atmosphere of honesty and kind of getting away from those false expectations, I guess?
Mm. Okay. Welcome to the club. It's part of being married. You know, I think it's great. You've been married a year. I think the first year is usually what we call the honeymoon stage. And then the reality sets in. And I think something that's helped me, I can tell you, has helped me a ton. And my wife is a big advocate of this, is to be able to sit down and every week and just have some time together where we're honest with each other. Just kind of a time to evaluate, not a time to correct each other or jump on, on each other. Oh, you know, you did this and this wrong, but just a time to really assess things and be honest and real. I know I need it too, but I think she's more in touch with how important it is than I am. And so what we end up doing is when we talk, we'll talk about what's great, what we enjoy, and then we'll talk about, hey, you know, this is an area where you know, we need to work on, or I need to work on, or she needs to work on. And it sounds to me, Robin, that you need that time just to be able to be honest. Put the guards down, say, you know, honey, right now I'm going to take, you know, you don't have to be super husband, but if you feel that way, that will be the time to not be super husband, be Clark Kent for a moment, and just get real and just say, you know what, this is how I feel. Right now I'm fearful of this challenge we have ahead of us. So right now, you know, I feel like we really need to pray more because, you know, we're getting ready to purchase this home and I wonder if it's the right thing to do. And, you know, whatever it is, that you can just get real with your wife and talk about it. Whatever it is, it could be even the topic of intimacy, but, you know, having a good time, but a set time to be able to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess part B of that would be in terms of the friendship piece. We knew each other before we got married for a couple of years, and we had a solid foundation as friends, but I think coming into the marriage with, you know, you can be over-prepared and all the books and all the things that you get counseled and sure. kind of lose touch with the natural side. So everything got real deep and real spiritual, but you kind of forget how to talk. So I think for me, I'm on the zealous, let's make sure we read, study, pray. Oh, yeah, good morning. But anyway, let's get back to, so I kind of want to revert that and kind of go back to the normal, how do you just build that? I guess that time that you talked about earlier might help as well.
It does. And I think in addition to that, do things that you like to do together. Find something that you enjoy. I mean, whether it's taking a walk. I mean, there are things you did, I'm sure, while you were dating that were fun. Maybe you haven't done them in a while. You know, and the movies is not one of the top things that I encourage you to do because you'll sit there for a while and you won't talk unless you're going to have dinner afterwards or something. But really doing something that you both enjoy. What I've learned as well, Robin, is that sometimes even talking about what are things that we might enjoy, you'll be surprised that there might be things that she'll be willing to try or you'll be willing, you know, you're willing to try that you didn't even know. Dancing, cycling, whatever, you know, it's like, wait, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have great fond memories and you'll have a lot of fun and it'll be natural mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, Robin, I hope we were able to help you this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. All right. We have Loida calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Hello.
Hi, Loida. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. What's your comment or question?
I wanted to comment on the previous caller, Maria.
Yeah.
I
really liked what Marcos had said to her about how to allow him to just, you know, fall in his face and allow God to, you know, work through that. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give her my own personal experience that I, for the past three years, recently I gave my life to Christ wholeheartedly mm-hmm. versus just half, you know, halfway. Mm-hmm. And for the past years, I've been, you know, doing the whole partying and the college scene, you know what I mean? Yeah. And now I've just been very blessed by the Lord, and I had a couple quotes that, you know, the Holy Spirit had given me last month, and I just wanted to share those with her. One of those was, to have faith but be prepared, and what that means is, that in order for us to have faith, we have to not only have faith, but be prepared for the things that God, you know, has in store for us, them sure. being good, them being bad, because, you know, we see them as bad, but really good comes out of it because mm-hmm. it was all in God's plan. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we have to be prepared with, you know, the things that are going to come our way. For example, the things that her husband is going to be going through. So sure. she has to have faith in the Lord, but be prepared for those things that are going to come.
That's mm-hmm. true.
And also, the other one, it's kind of neat, don't be a backseat driver, but be God's passenger. And, you know, to explain that, you know how when you're the backseat driver, you're the one trying to rush the driver and tell him, turn here, turn there, whatever.
Sure.
But when you're the passenger, you're just, you know, relaxed, chilling out the window, looking at the scenery, and you're just relaxed and allowing the driver to, you know, drive. And, you know, I encourage her to be able to do that, to just be the passenger and just allow God to steer her life in the direction that he wants her to go and just have faith that he's going to take care of the issues with her husband. and that the best thing she can do is stick through it, stick by him, and just pray, and just pray for her own strength and pray for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because this is something that's not only going to mold him, but it's going to be molding her and her strength and her patience.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, I really love what you said to her. And I also encourage her to read the book of Ecclesiastes, which is what I'm reading now. And one of the chapters talks about the time, that there's a time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So right now is the time for patience.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Lourdes, thank you so much for that. Marcos, did you want to say something to Lourdes?
No, just continue to give your whole heart. That's what God loves. And I love what you said. Don't be a backseat driver. No one likes backseat drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't do it to God either. He doesn't appreciate it. So thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate that.
All
no
right.
Problem.
Have a wonderful day, Lloyd.
You too. God bless.
All right. God bless you as well. We have an anonymous caller calling in. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine.
Doing great.
Thank you.
Good. I had a question. I wanted to know, how do you know that God ordained your marriage?
Good question. You know, that is a full question. I'll try to answer it just a little bit. One of our segments, an upcoming segment, we're going to be talking about God's perfect will versus God's permissible will.
Okay.
Now, what I mean by that is, you know, God lets us choose and do what we want. I mean, he gives us free will. Mm-hmm. But there is God's perfect will. And when you think about the scriptures, if your life and then your marriage lines up with God's perfect will, which is obviously what? First of all, to please him, to glorify him, to draw others closer. But the Bible also says that two become one, right? And
right.
So that two are better than one, like it says in Ecclesiastes. Why? Because you're going to be in a relationship and it's going to make you worse. And what I mean by this, it's simple, and I've done it for myself, is you take a time, and I'm not talking about a turbulent time, if you're going through a hardship or a challenge at that time. I'm talking about a time that you consider normal in your relationship. And so here you are, you're dating, you're kind of evaluating your relationship. Things are normal. I mean, you know, you still have your job. He has his job. You know, there's no major stress. You take that time and you ask yourself, before I met this person or before we were together, was I closer to God than I am now? If the answer is no, I used to be closer to God before. I was more focused on God before. This person actually, the more I think about it, I get distracted about my relationship with God. Then that might be time to take a step back and really evaluate. Wait a minute. Is this really his will? The other one as well, one last one here, and is there sin in the camp? What I mean by that is sometimes people don't see things clear, but you'll never be able to know God's will if there's sin. Meaning that if you're impure, immoral prior to marriage, and you're like, I think this is the one, you're never going to know. I mean, God won't bless it, first of all. It'll be taking matters into your own hands. It's wrong. And then you won't be able to think clearly because your emotions are taking over. And so you have to be able to think clearly. You have to be able to be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, is this person someone that's going to help me to make it to heaven and make a great impact while I go there?
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for your call. I hope we were helpful to you this morning.
You are. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good one. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We have put out the question to the listening audience. Are you dishonest in your marriage? We're looking to hear from you with a response to that question. And if you need any help in your marriage, give us a call at 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have Bernard calling in from South Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Yes, good morning.
Good
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I'm really enjoying your show. I've been listening for a while, but I wish that you would have had it on before I got married.
Oh.
Well, it's never too late to add, right? There you go.
I know that's
right. But I was listening to one of the first callers of your show, and it was in regards to children that her soon-to-be husband or husband were involved in his life before they got married. I love the title of your show, but you should also add in there, consider the vows. Most of us get married and we don't consider the vows that we take. The vows say, for better or worse, sickness and health, richer or poorer, till death do us part. And most of us say, I do to that. And however, we don't live up to what we make that commitment to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
So with that young lady, she needs to really think about, if you can't accept this man, and that's what marriage is about, not changing a person,
sure,
but accepting a person. And if you can't accept that person, you need to, you know, do not ignore the detour sign.
Mm.
Get away. You know what I mean? If you can't really accept the person as they are, and stop making these lawyers rich and making all that money over our divorces and losing our homes.
Sure.
And that. So just consider those vows. I think that the pastors, the counselors, need to more or less richly touch on that particular subject of what those vows are. And if you're not willing to accept the person as they are, I ignored detour signs.
Mm-hmm.
I made that mistake. I mean, you know, everything was clear, but I just ignored it. So I'm going straight forward, and I didn't consider, will I accept this person even if she's not what I wanted?
That's so true. That is so true.
So just a message to those that are about to do it. Find out what those vows really mean. And if you're not willing to commit to those vows, don't do it. Just
wow.
A little input, man.
Sound advice.
It's great advice, Bernard. You know, it's amazing how even if you get the right input, though, very few people are truly listening when they're focused on marriage. Mm-hmm. All
that
they want
me.
Is to...
That was me, man.
And usually what I tell people, that's when you need to yield.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, you're talking about these signs. You need to yield. You need some time. And that's what I was trying to tell the caller earlier. I said, it's just, why are you rushing into this if you're not sure? And she mentioned how it wasn't about time. And it isn't always about time, but sometimes we need time for ourselves just to be honest and listen. And I love what you said, consider the vows, anything beyond the vows. But
yes,
once you say I do, you know, I've heard, you know, a lot of weddings that I officiate. And sometimes, you know, people want to come up with their own creative vows.
Mm-hmm.
And they start saying things that there's no way that they're going to be able to honor. And I mean by, like, for example, they'll say, you know, I'm never going to hurt you. I'm never going to be angry at you.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
Of course you are.
Mm-hmm.
We're sinful. We're human. You will hurt the other person. And so a better and more honest vow would be, when I hurt you, I will be humble. I'll be sorry. I don't want to hurt you. But if I do, I want you to know I'm going to be sorry. And, you know, and that's more honest. And so as we're talking about lying and dishonesty in marriage, it really starts with, let's be honest with ourselves.
Right.
So, Bernard, I appreciate what you said. It's great. Consider the vows.
I want to say one more thing, man.
Sure.
I want to see my children every day. And it hurts me to no avail not to be able to see them wake up and put them to bed.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I have young children, man, and
okay.
I'm not a real young guy myself, but nonetheless, I was raised properly. My mom and dad had issues. I have 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
They had issues in the beginning of their marriage. My mother walked away. Her mother told her, go back. Your husband ain't beating on you. Go back. And
okay.
they stayed together for 60 years, man.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
My dad passed away, I guess, about 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay.
But I miss, man, my children every day. Nobody knows to be drugged through that court system. I don't have to tell me to take care of my kids. They mine. I love them. But to go through that embarrassment,
sure.
You know what I mean? So consider those vows, man. Please.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so key.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for your call, and thank you for listening to us at Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Yes, and I'll continue to listen to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have Renee calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Fantastic. What's your comment or question?
My comment, I was calling about, first about the female Maria that had called, and I just wanted to say how her whole testimony was just an encouragement. I mean, it wasn't even a testimony yet, it's still a test, but
mm-hmm.
how what was said to her, put me at a state of wow, you know, to just let go and let him fall on his face kind of thing. I've been married for 9 years. And me and my husband just separated this past week.
Okay.
And in the course of that, I had found out that he was in an altercation with two females that he had outside of me somewhere where I wasn't.
Wow.
And you know how God just protected me through that, because God kind of fanned me to sleep because it was close enough where I could have walked to this incident. But, you know, God helped me and fanned me to sleep so that I didn't have to be a part of it. And then he turned around and crashed his car and got a ticket. Like, all these events just happened. And I, you know, and just saying to him, like, you know, why is it worth the risk? And I realized that I had been lying to myself, because one of these females has been with my husband as long as we've been married.
Oh,
wow.
And she's like, you know, I might be pregnant. And this is already in addition to a child that he had in our marriage and kids that had popped up that were before our marriage, but just popping up during the marriage. Like, and it had just been so much. And then your last caller asked the difference between how did you know that, you know, that was supposed to be your husband? And, you know, you said about permissive and perfect will. And I realized that when two sinners come into something, you'll never know God's perfect will. And I'm so stuck and confused because I'm at a state like, okay, well, what do I do? You know, okay, God frowns upon divorce. However, I refuse to believe that the father that I know and love wants some man to be hurting and disrespecting me in doing what he does. He's putting my life in jeopardy because Lord only knows what he can bring home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, Renee, you're absolutely right. And I think it starts with being honest with yourself. And it sounds like there was a time where you weren't. The signs were there. Our previous caller, Bernard, mentioned the same thing. Sometimes the signs are there. We just ignore them. Mm-hmm. And yet you're getting to a point where you're like, you know, I am no longer going to ignore these signs. And it's obvious. Sometimes these signs are so obvious to everyone else except us, you know, except we're in it and we don't want to see it. And I've seen that too often. And it really is something that God has to open your eyes, but you have to want to see the truth. And, you know, we're talking about dishonesty. It sounds like there's a huge issue with dishonesty and distrust. And an encouragement for you, Renee, is, you know, God hates divorce, but he does give an outlet when there's infidelity. And I believe part of that is because, you know, God, the Bible teaches the two become one. But if you go outside of that, then you break that oneness. And God knows that some people cannot handle trying to have a relationship after that. You know, it'll have to be, you know, miraculous, and there'll have to be such a transformation in a person before that trust can really be rebuilt.
Right. All right. Renee, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Welcoming your calls, 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Christine is calling in from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning. Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
I wanted to comment. I was listening to the brother that just called in. Mm-hmm. I listen to your show all the time.
Awesome.
And I wasn't going to call because I'm not married, but I've been in a position where I've been pressing towards marriage.
Okay.
And I was also listening to the young lady that was having the issue with the should she go forward.
Sure.
I totally agree with the guy that said consider the vows.
Yes.
And I lead to this. The young man that's on the show with you, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
Marcos. Thank you. You call me young. I appreciate it. I like you already.
You said something earlier about praying before you do things. And I prayed that prayer that he said to me because I was with a gentleman who lives in a Christian ministry, and I thought this was the guy for me. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our situation ended up in domestic violence where he... Wow. Didn't want to confront the truth about a lot of things, and every time I would try to bring these things to the table, we even tried counseling. We had pastors willing to do it for us for free. He would avoid it, and he would get defensive, and it ended up very nastily, and, you know, unfortunately, I had a good relationship with his family. He didn't want to continue that. But to make a long story short, I prayed that prayer. Lord, if this is not for me, because a lot of the times the signs are there, and we as Christians and just people in general, we don't want to live with the truth of the matter because it's something that we want so badly that we're willing to sell our soul for it.
That is true.
And it's, you know, although I thought this was the guy for me, because he was living in the Christian ministry, he was doing any and everything under that ministry. And even when I had gone to the pastor about it, she was just creating such dissension between us. So like the young man said, consider the vows and consider if this is what God would have for your life, because we can live a lie all day long, but the end is definitely better because if unless God is really in it, then it's not going to last. It's not going to last.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Have a blessed day.
You do the same. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're going to pause for the calls for just a few moments, but we would love for you to stay with us. We will be back with more on the conversation of dishonesty in marriage. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we'll return right after this.